B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gary Bettman, NHL commissioner, also addressing governors about the league's idea going to a four-site, centralized, format tournament, if you want. 11 to 14 teams have put in bids to be one of those four sites. Now, Bettman apparently told governors, as I'm told, that yes, the players have concerns, as Darren Dreger talked about last week, about being in a bubble for 3 months, and that the league and the PA are trying to come up with solutions to that. Perhaps the players, getting a break out of the bubble to go see their loved ones. So lots to work over there. And the Return to Play Committee, which has players on it, is meeting again for a fourth time with the NHL officials on Wednesday.
So the return of pro sports, it feels like in this endless nightmare corporate meeting that we talked about last week that thankfully we don't have here. But if you have a job where you have to sit in meetings, oh my God. And I feel like it has become one giant meeting among these sports, just throwing ideas out there and blabbing and not doing anything. And it's starting to piss me off. And so that's Pierre LeBrun. And the NHL's trying. Again, they're throwing out all these ideas, but no one's making any decisions, and no one can come to a consensus because everyone wants what's best for them, and no one's willing to give up anything, and they're just sort of in this purgatory, it feels like to me. But there was another poll on The Athletic, when we're talking about their uniform poll here in Boston. They did a poll among NHL players about returning to the game. And it's instructive, kind of, but also kind of useless, and I'll tell you why. So they polled, it was 57 players from 22 different teams, and they asked about returning. You know, what do you want to have happen? 63% of those polled said they want some regular season and playoffs. Okay, so they want to have come back and have some regular season and the playoffs, 63%. 24% said straight to the playoffs, and 12% said cancel. So more than 1 in 10 NHL players, according to their survey, are saying just bang the whole thing. Well, when you look at where the players are from, though, it kind of tells you the deal. In other words, the 57 players were from 22 different teams. Among those 22 teams, 5 were cup contenders, 4 were locks for the playoffs, 8 teams were on the bubble, and 5 are way out of the playoffs and are in the draft lottery.
Yeah, if you're in Ottawa and a senator, you don't get the vote.
Right, so it's like, oh, well, the 12.3%, well, those are the players on Detroit, Ottawa, the Kings, the teams that are way out of it. Of course, so the teams that are way out of it, they don't want to come back. Although, I think they should, because for collective bargaining purposes and salary cap purposes, it's going to, if the NHL loses all this revenue, it's going to affect everybody, whether you're in the playoffs or not. But the fact of the matter is, over 80% of the season is done. Players only get paid in the regular season, so most of the players have already made their money for the year. Okay, it'll impact future earnings, but they sort of think about the here and now. So if they're out of it, they don't want to come back because they've made most of their money and they're not playing for anything. The players who are just outside the bubble, well, they want regular season games. We need to come back and play some regular season games to see if we can get into the playoffs. The teams and the players that are just inside the bubble, no, straight to the playoffs because they don't want to have to play any regular season games where they might play their way out of the playoffs. And the players that are on teams that are firmly in the playoffs or contending for the cup want it all. We just got to play. I'll go to quarantine. I'll go to hotels. We'll do whatever it takes. So it's like, it's really based on your circumstance of what you would want if you're a player. So I find that polling kind of useless to me. I would hope that most of the players that matter want to come back. And I think even those that aren't in the playoffs and aren't really playing for anything, quote unquote, you're still playing for your overall slice of the pie when it comes to the CBA and the percentage of revenue and the salary cap next year and all of this. If you can recoup at least the TV money and have an NHL playoffs, you'll do better in the long run. And so everyone should want to come back if I'm an NHL player. Before I go on, do you have a thought?
Well, the other thing with the 12.3% who don't want to come back, and I don't think there's any question that the majority of those guys are probably on bad teams. I also wonder if they were, high salaried or low salaried, and they lean towards high. Because, again, if you've already banked 80% of your salary, and you know you're making $10 million, then you sit there and go, I'm going to lose, you know, the $2 million that's left. I'm going to lose some to taxes anyway. It's not even worth me coming back.
Okay.
And don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you I don't value $2 million, but some of those guys would say, forget it. It's not worth it.
Short-sighted. You want to make nice with your TV partners. You want to collect that TV money. And it's going to, you know, impact. There's this whole escrow, you know, technicality that I don't need to get into. It's too complicated, but it does impact whether you are in the playoffs or not. Your overall slice of the pie, it will be impacted by you coming back or not. So they should all want to come back, I think. But this is the part that really bugged me. They pulled some players, and here's one Western Conference player. Here's his quote. Do I think it's likely to happen, meaning them coming back? Do I think it's likely to happen? Not really, he said. Seems like there are too many things to overcome to make that work right now, and no one really has an answer for when it's going to end. The worst part of it is, if we do come back and play, and whatever team goes on to win, we'll always have an asterisk beside them. So what's the point? And I added, so what's the point? But that's his point. He says, so even if they do come back, you win the cup, you have an asterisk next to yourself, and so it's not really worth anything anyway. To which I say, wrong, wrong, wrong. It depends who wins. In other words, if the Bruins win the cup in this new environment in a bubble city with no fans in the stands and win the cup, would you put an asterisk next to that when they won the President's Trophy during the regular season, last year went to Game 7 of the Cup Finals, has been pretty much one of the top two or three teams in hockey for 2 years wire to wire? How could you possibly put an asterisk next to that? You would say, no, they've been among the best teams in hockey, and so they won the cup. There's no asterisk there if the Bruins won the cup. There's no asterisk if the Capitals won the cup or the Penguins. If Sidney Crosby won the Stanley Cup in this tournament, would you put an asterisk next to it?
No.
The guy's won three. He won two in a row just a couple years ago. They're one of the best teams in hockey. There's no asterisk next to Sidney Crosby winning the freaking cup. If the St. Louis Blues repeat as cup champions, is there an asterisk next to their name?
Yes.
No.
Mike, but you know that fans are going to be subjective about this. And even still, as much as I would love for the Bruins to win the cup, them playing without fans, I would look at that and be like, well, of course they want it because Rask couldn't feel as much pressure. You know, there's going to be, you know, swaths of fans that look at any of these professional sports, they come back and whoever is deemed champion and say, oh, well, that was the COVID year. That's kind of tainted.
Well, let me tell you, again, it depends the team. Like, and just sticking with hockey.
Yeah, but wait, why does that matter? In other words, the Kings won it 1 year as an 8 seed. So should we put an asterisk next to that?
No. So this is what I'm saying. But there are teams. Like if the Blackhawks or the Canadians, and I keep going back to the Canadians, teams that aren't playoff teams, haven't been playoff teams all year, but if they expand the playoffs and allow those teams in and they somehow get on a run, which they're both capable of because Montreal has the goalie and, you know, Taves and Kane, and, you know, it's just lightning in a bottle. Hockey, it happens, right? If one of those teams came out of nowhere, Maz, you know, 10th, 11th place teams, I would say, all right, that was the COVID year. Because they have no right being in the tournament. So,
okay. No, so that I get. But now you're talking about changing the format. Right. Like, yeah. So if it's a change in format that allows teams in that wouldn't normally be in, then I'm with you.
Okay. And you raise a good point. You know, teams come out of the woodwork every year to win the cup. So no one should have the asterisk in hockey unless you were way out of the tournament and they somehow slip you in because they reformat it. But especially the good teams, if, you know, the Bruins, the Blues, the Pens, the Caps, these are cup winners, perennial contenders. They've been the best teams in hockey for years, the last couple anyway. And if they won, there's no asterisk. In the NBA, there are some asterisks. There are some asterisks. The biggest one to me is developing to be the New Jersey Nets. Excuse me, Brooklyn Nets. The Nets. This was always a throwaway year for them. They didn't play for anything. Durant's out all year. Kyrie shuts it down. They've been they've just been a middler. They've totally sort of, this is just a pure sort of placeholder year for next year. But because of this, Durant might come back. Durant might come back. And now Kyrie might come back. And now all of a sudden the NBA returns July, August, playoffs in September. And you're facing the Brooklyn Nets with Durant and Kyrie fully loaded, like asterisk, asterisk. If the Sixers, and I guess if the playoffs start today, it's you and Philly. Is Philly the sixth seed right now?
That's right.
If the Sixers somehow get on this run, Ben Simmons gets healthy, and I don't expect this to happen. I think you're way better. I think the Sixers are trash, but let's just say. and they beat you because there's no fans in the stands, there's no home road, there's no travel, they beat you and go on a run, I'd say asterisk. If the Celtics won, I'd say asterisk. As it all stands right now, if all things were equal, you'd have to be on the road second round in Toronto, on the road conference final in Milwaukee, on the road NBA final Lakers or Clippers. You're not getting through that with fans in the stands and travel being what it is. But if you're all in some empty gym in Las Vegas with no travel, you could run that. The Sixers could run that. The Nets could run that. That, to me, Maz, is worth a little bit of an asterisk. That I could see.
Oh, for sure. Look, again, there are lots of variables. But the Brooklyn one you pointed out, I mean, that is one of the great asterisks of all time. And you know, we mentioned this way back when the teams first went out and we were talking about a potential stoppage. What if they're out long enough that Durant comes back? I mean, that guy's he's a complete game changer in the league. And so that will go down.
Top three player in the league. I mean, the Nets go from being fodder in the first round to... Are they
a favorite?
I mean, seriously, are they co-favorites to come out of the East?
And that's why it's fake. It would deserve an asterisk, and I think most people would look at it that way. Most sports fans would be like, again, that's the COVID year. Well, I mean, what did you expect?
Especially, it'd be one thing if Durant came back and Kyrie came back, and it was still full buildings, home road, 7-game series with travel. Then I don't know if the Nets would do it even with Durant coming back. But everyone quarantined in one location in one empty arena, no travel, no crowds. Brooklyn could run that. They could run that. And that I would see the asterisk. But on hockey, I don't want to hear it, unless it's the Canadians. I don't want to hear it. Especially if it's there's no asterisk if the Bruins win the Cup. They've been, you know, one of the best teams in hockey for 2 straight years, front to end. No asterisk there. Speaking of the Bruins, we'll get help on them with a little chat with Jack Edwards. We'll do that right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Wilder Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We'll get back to your calls here in a minute. Let's get a little help on the Bruins. Check in where the NHL stands. See if our guy here is hearing anything. Join us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline from Nesson, Jack Edwards, one of the voices of the Bruins. Jack, thanks for taking the time. How you doing, man?
I'm on your side on the rant about third uniforms. You know, the Tampa Bay Lightning, their third sweater is impossible to read. It's like dark gray on black, and our vantage point at the Tampa Bay Arena is like 200 feet from the ice to begin with. My eyes aren't getting any better, you know?
I hear you, Jack. That's not our issue. My issue is if you've got a classic uniform, don't dink around with it. And right. So, I mean, the Lightning can do whatever they want as far as I'm concerned, the Lightning. But the Celtics, the Bruins, the Yank, teams like that, don't mess around with it. Jack, what are you hearing? Are we going to have hockey this year?
Brick thinks so. I don't think so. So we're on opposite sides of the fence on that. You know, I hope that they can have some semblance of a reasonable, legitimate playoff. But the staging to get to that point is nearly impossible because, you know, taken for granted that they're going to be playing games in empty arenas. But you can't start with playoff game number one after having a 2.5-month layoff. Consider how bad the games have been just coming back from the week and a half bye week plus the All-Star break. You want that as your first games in the playoffs with the higher-seeded teams having, quote, home, end quote, advantage, you know, the last change at a neutral rink. There goes that advantage, you know, because there are going to be so many fluky results just out of the gate. So I don't know. I think the logistical difficulties are going to be impossible to overcome. But my partner, Brooke, thinks they're going to play.
Well, Are you hearing something? You must be hearing something. I mean, you're with the team. You're part of the Bruins team, you know, if you will, Jack. And you know, you may have to go somewhere. I mean, have you been told to, you know, clear out your schedule for Grand Forks, North Dakota, in August, or you know, do you hear anything?
Yeah, well, that's what we're told. You know, we're going to keep the summer unscheduled and open, but all we get from the league is that they're in these endless corporate meetings where there are all kinds of interests and all kinds of scenarios being put forth. And the deeper you dig, the more generic the answer becomes, because nobody knows where this thing is going. If there's a second wave, if people can get reinfected, you know, there are so many variables that the league is trying to figure out while trying to satisfy the wishes of the league's governors, which is to make money. So, you know, how do they do that? Well, that's a puzzle that nobody has solved yet.
Jack, if they do play again, would you be at all uncomfortable if you had to broadcast the games?
I would not be uncomfortable because we've already got contingencies in place for safety. And I'm kind of a germaphobe to begin with, so I would not be averse to going into an arena, but I got a feeling that rather than bring all these crews into a neutral site, they're going to have a world feed which has a minimal production crew on site, and everybody calls the games from their home studios via monitor. That's just a guess.
How do you feel about that?
Terrible. You know, I don't know if you remember the games from Prague in the 2010-2011 season that opened the season, but there was an empty net goal in the first game, and Brick and I were calling the game from Watertown, and I couldn't figure out why the Coyotes player was just dumping the puck in from the red line with a minute and a half to go in the game, and then they pan right, and I realized, oh, the Bruins had pulled the goalie. And the audience and I were finding it out for the first time because the director on site, who was responsible for the world feed, neglected to show us a little box or a cutaway of the goalie skating to the bench. So, you know, if you're not in the arena, you're watching it on TV. And as much as we try to bring the game through the screen, there's nothing like being there.
Jack Edwards of Nesson, join us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mass, did you have another question right there?
Yeah, so Jack, I was just going to ask you that obviously there was some news recently about MLB participating in an antibody testing program. And to my knowledge, we still don't have the results of that. It was a study being conducted out in California. I'm just wondering, have teams at all taken it upon themselves at this stage to touch base with the people that travel with the team about testing, about what types of testing would take place if they do come back? Like, have any of those discussions taken place with you?
As far as I know, no contact with anybody at Nesson, and certainly no contact with me. Also, you know, we go back to our high school science class, and how do you run an experiment? Well, you have a control and then one variable. The problem is there are so many tests out there. And I read yesterday that only 3 of the 14 tests that are out there are reliable on a scientific basis. So where do we stand? Nobody knows. And there's a giant X factor there where there's a giant question mark. And I don't even think we have a national testing program that's reliable right now.
Jack, do you think the players would accept quarantining to get it done?
It's a tough sell because those players are in, if you'll forgive the phrase, baby-making years. And, and a lot of their wives are pregnant. And, you know, nobody's going to voluntarily leave a pregnant wife and miss the birth of a child and should not. And that introduces another variable to the quarantine situation.
Well, so let me ask you. If you had to do it, let's say you weren't broadcasting from neutral sites, you had to enter the bubble. Would you enter the bubble for 3 months?
I would, yep, because the youngest of my children is about to turn 15 years old, and My wife is is raring to get me out of the house.
along these lines, and forgive me if I think I read this, so it is public knowledge. I thought, excuse me if it's not, you do homeschool your kids, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh,
so you're used to this crap.
Yeah, they've made the transition pretty seamlessly. You know, when my wife suggested we homeschool my oldest, who's about to miss her commencement ceremony as a senior in college, but when my wife first suggested it, I thought of socially isolated kids chained to the kitchen table and being sociopaths when they grew up. And Pittsburgh Penguins, hold your tongue, because you know I know you what you think of me. But I have been educated in homeschooling. Homeschooling is actually like going to college when you're 7 years old, because it's all over the place. There are all kinds of consortiums of groups of homeschooling families, and it's really been a remarkable experience. And
can I tell you, Jack, just having done it now for 2 months, kind of, I think it's for the birds. I'm not so thrilled with it.
Well, yeah, it's a lifestyle change, and you and your wife don't have jobs that are conducive to homeschooling. I certainly understand that situation. You know, I'm on the road about half the year, and Lisa's on the road about a quarter of the year. So it does lead to some difficult situations, but she's given up a lot more than I have.
Okay. I just found that interesting, Jack. You know, so you,
yeah.
Anyway, thank you for taking the time. Is there anything else? Is there anything else that you've heard that could help us, you know, going forward here? Anything else, any other little nugget of information you've heard in your role as the team broadcaster?
I unfortunately no. I wake up and scour the headlines and look for stories every day, just the same as you do. And there's nothing definite. And I know they're meeting and discussing all kinds of contingencies, but there's nothing planned.
Okay, Jack. Hey, thanks again for taking the time. Stay safe. We appreciate it.
Be well, Jack.
I admire your energy.
Okay, thanks, Jack. No problem. You'll start talking about uniforms. And it just takes over, and there's really no problem. We'll get back to that, and your calls and the asterisk story as well, because that sort of bugs me. The Durant thing is an issue too. We'll get back to all of it after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, we'll get back to your calls here in a second. Got a few arguments brewing on the uniform front based on this athletic survey. But the athletic survey with the players and the asterisk sort of bugged me, because I don't think any hockey team deserves an asterisk unless they expand the playoffs so much that you get and again, the Blackhawks and Canadiens, and the Canadiens are the team that I really focus on, that we're never in the playoffs for, you know, haven't been in the playoffs for months. They expand it to the point where they get let in, and the next thing you know, Carey Price gets hot, or Taves goes on a run, and Kane goes on a run. And next thing you know, one of those teams win. Then I would say, okay, COVID year. Other than that, I think the hockey playoffs are so wide open anyway that, you know, I think Maz raised that point, and it's a good one. Never mind if you're one of the good teams. How could you put an asterisk next to the Bruins, Murray, when they've been
given their playoff history and just last year, and especially the goaltender in big moments? Come on, Mike. You got to understand why someone like me would look at that with a side eye.
Do you think they're a top 5 team in hockey the last 2 years?
Yeah, for sure.
So, I don't know. It's like I feel like one of the best teams in hockey won the cup. That's what I would think. I mean,
and I also know that throughout my lifetime, outside of that one run in 11, they're perpetual gag artists in the postseason. So, for them to play in front of no fans, and especially if they were like sweeping teams or it was like a 5-game series, I'm sorry. I'd be pumped on one hand because, like, yay, they won the cup. But on the other, I'd be like, well, that was fake.
I mean, you know, to me, I look at the bigger picture with the Bruins even than that. Like the last couple of years, this would be four trips to the finals if they were to go and they go for 2-2. So I have a hard time calling the Bruins some sort of flash fluke because, again, they've demonstrated over this period, really almost a full decade now, that they have been one of the best teams in hockey. I hear you, Murray. And look, I will also issue the disclaimer, talk about riding the fence, that I think, you know, we do need to see what it all looks like when they come back. Like, if the product is clearly inferior and there are variables in the play that just weren't there before, and I don't know what those would be. I'm just allowing for the possibility that they exist. You might be able to convince me of something after we see it. But, you know, my general rule of thumb is if everybody's playing by the same rules and the rules haven't changed year to year or a result of some pandemic, then no asterisk.
Okay. In the NBA, though, I to me, it opens up so many more possibilities. Without that travel and the home road thing, I mean, it's dramatic. It's dramatic what I think it does. I mean, the Celtics, if all things were equal and there was no pandemic, in the second round, they open up against Philly at home. Then they're on the road Toronto, on the road Milwaukee, on the road Lakers or Clippers, if that's the way it goes. Like, I'm sorry. I like the Celtics. I think they're a top team. There's no way they're getting through that. There's no way they're getting through that. Now, if they're all sequestered in Disneyland, Disney World, in empty arenas with no travel, they can and probably will beat the Raptors, not having to go to Toronto. I give them an even money chance against the Bucks, maybe better. And then, you know, like everything's on the table. That feels sort of asterisky to me.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a big asterisk. So I tell you what, you know, if the Bruins were winning, I'd put like a wee little asterisk because, you know, they are one of the best teams in hockey. They have been, you know, sustaining that for the last few years. So fine. That would make sense. Celtics do it. They don't go to Toronto. Kemba Walker's knee is healthy. Like, come on. Like, if they were to somehow win the championship, I know you keep saying that, Jimmy. But, yeah, that'd be kind of fake.
But, you know, Mike, to your point, taking home court out of basketball, that's a major variable.
Oh.
Major. It'd be the equivalent of taking, like, the bye out of football.
Yeah.
You know, if all of a sudden they said, well, because of the pandemic, no bye. So if you're the number one seed, you still got to play on wild card weekend. You'd say, what? Like, there's no advantage there? I think because then all of a sudden you'd see, you know, I know now they're expanding, but in the old system, you'd see the sixth seed getting into the Super Bowl a hell of a lot more often.
Okay, never mind. And now we get to the Sixers, who I still think they're a trash team, and so I'm not worried about them per se, but the Sixers-Celtics first round without the Boston Garden is a little bit of a different series. And I guess Simmons is more healthy, but again, I think he's a trash. I'm not worried about Ben freaking Simmons. The guy still, I mean, Murray, you said he's healthy and he's going to be back, but has he learned how to shoot during the apocalypse?
Yeah, that I can't speak to. I do think he's good defensively. I think he's a better player than you do, but he helps them. I mean, he was out if the season was playing and continued and didn't get shut down. Like, he's out, and he might not have been back until maybe the second round of the playoffs. He's now in. Certainly gives Philadelphia a better chance of beating the Celtics and knocking them off in that first round.
Okay, so that's a little asterisky, but nothing like the Brooklyn Nets, where they had – this was a total placeholder, nothing year, to the point where, you know – Schmenzer head there, Kyrie shuts it down, quits for the year, basically. But now Durant, and the whole reason this is on the table is that Durant said he was probably going to play in the Olympics, which was in July. Well, if he could play in the Olympics in July and the NBA comes back in July, he just, and again, his GM, Sidney Marks, did an interview with his hometown New Zealand newspaper, Murray. I don't know how your New Zealand accent is. If it's half as good as your British accent, I'd want to hear it.
Well, I believe New Zealand's very much like Aussie, where everything ends on an up note.
It is. He said that's a $111 million question. And basically, he said that's a $110 million question. Sorry. Mark's told News Hub. He told News Hub, Murray.
I called in the 98.5 the News Hub, told him a little bit about Durant.
The Achilles feeling better.
Says, in all seriousness, we've tried not to talk about his timeline a lot. He knows his better body than anybody. Our performance team and training staff have done a tremendous job getting him to this point, but I just don't know how coming off of this pandemic will affect anybody, let alone Kevin. He did say, though, that at the end, he looked like Kevin, meaning before the pandemic and in his training sessions, he looked like Kevin Durant. So there's a real thought there that Kevin Durant comes back, which means you know who comes back. And now it's Durant, Kyrie. Talk about changing the landscape, Maz.
Oh, totally. Look, again, it is the most dramatic example, not only in current sport, maybe in the history of sports.
Should they allow it? Should they somehow not allow it? Is it not fair?
No, too bad. It's just, it's a lucky break.
Yeah, it's an extreme
break.
Extreme circumstance. I mean, if this thing picks up back in December and they're ready to play, it is what it is.
I mean, so, like, you start doing that. What else are you going to do? Ben Simmons, you can't play in the first round because if we started on time, you wouldn't have been there? I just, there are certain lines you have to draw. For example, you say, let's just say this thing extends beyond the drafts, okay? And someone drafted a player who could play right away. That guy, not eligible. Okay, he was not part of the organization before this whole thing started. Durant was. There was an injury, but they caught a break. The season went on longer because of an unusual circumstance, and he's eligible to play now. So, you know, good for them. It sucks for everyone else, but a good break for the Nets. I still don't think they'll win it, by the way, but that's an aside. In terms of him being able to play, hell yeah, he should be able to play.
All right, let's pick this up on the other side with your calls, I promise. Long commercial-free segment is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass. It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What are you hearing, and how do you think Durant should be approaching this?
It's a real possibility. I believe the plan all along was to have both Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, two guys coming off of surgery, to play together in the playoffs. I do not believe that one guy will return without the other. A couple of things, Tony. Sean Marks, who's from New Zealand, said this to a New Zealand media outlet. He's not going down this road unless there's a chance that Kevin Durant could play. And remember this, too. Their first-round opponent could be Toronto. I know they're not going to probably be playing in Toronto, but that was the scene of the crime where he suffered that injury.
Yeah.
But I believe he'll play.
And you think the likelihood is it would be Durant and Irving back? Because we haven't heard anything about Kyrie Irving. You never hear anything about Kyrie Irving's recovery from the injury, but okay.
That's Frank Iasola on ESPN. Talk about a kick in the nards. Kyrie Irving comes back. That fraud. Think of that. All right, so that's on the table. We start off talking about NFL schedule, which is going to be released tomorrow night. It's possible, and there's a lot of chatter out there that every team is going to start with their non-conference schedule in the first month. So if they need to bang games, cancel games, postpone games, flip games to the end of the year, that's sort of an easy way to package it. And so is it possible the Patriots start out with that tough NFC West slate at Seattle, at Rams, home Niners, home Arizona? Does that help them or hurt them? And if they cancel those games, does it help them or hurt them? Remember, the entire division plays the same slate, the same, same division. Different home and road component, but they play the same division. And so does that net out a positive for the Patriots if they cancel those games? I think it does. And even if it delays, I think it helps the Patriots. If they start out, though, against the NFC West, I think that's a tough start for the Patriots, and that sort of led to a little bit of a quarterback conversation. I think Brian Hoyer is going to be the starter to start training camp and maybe even start the year. And maybe the schedule plays into it. If you're opening up at Seattle, if you're opening up against the Niners and it's Stidham versus Garoppolo, is Belichick going to put Stidham in that position to fail? If you want a softer landing for Stidham, doesn't it make more sense for him to rescue the team from Brian Hoyer than being the next guy after Tom Brady, taking on the player that Bill wanted to be his replacement, etc.?
No. So,
well,
you got it or you don't, kid. Get the hell out there. Well, prove your worth.
This is what we're talking about. So you're going to judge Stidham based on week one, Murray?
I am not. But if Bill believes in him, the kid should be out there. If he has a good camp, if they're going to have a camp and he outperforms Hoyer, which I would imagine he would because he already did. It's why that stiff lost his job last year, at least here. Then, you know, you start Stidham because he's the next guy, or at least the guy for 2020.
You don't believe in managing for the long term, Jim?
No. If you're ready to go in today's NFL, which is more, you know, more helpful to a quarterback than ever, then you get the hell out there and you play.
So again, you're going to judge him on week one?
I am not. If Bill believes in him, then he should be out there.
Yeah, I think there is evidence to suggest that Bill will protect guys who he thinks aren't ready. And, I mean, this is an extreme case, but I always look at Steven Gostkowski. I think at the beginning of his career, Belichick was careful with Gostkowski and made sure that he sort of groomed him and built him. And Gostkowski became a very reliable kicker for them over the large majority of his career, at least until the end. And I don't think that that was a mistake.
Okay, so that's everything on the table, and the uniform survey in The Athletic, which we've had some fun with and you all want to weigh in on. So let's do it. Weigh in. Mike in Connecticut, go.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. The first thing I want to do is also thank you for changing the topic of the day, because I'm so darn tired of hearing about Tom Brady. But you guys are right when you say that the Sox uniform is a classic and really shouldn't be changed. But what I'm calling about today is those bicentennial uniforms with the tricolored socks. And although they are a little bit hokey, I suggest wearing them on Sunday home games only.
Okay, let me just stop you. So one of the questions in this survey is if you could bring back any old uniform element. Again, this is in all the city, all the sports in town, all the teams. What would it be? If you could bring back one uniform element from the past, what would it be? The number one response was the Pat Patriot red uniforms. Okay, the old Pat Patriot red uniforms, 64%. But the next one, at 14%, was the Red Sox dual color hat look from the 70s, which surprises me. Because I think all those 70s baseball uniforms, cheese ball central. And the only reason I would bring them back is to make fun of them and to say, you know, can you believe we wore this crap at one point in time and someone thought this was a good idea at one point in time? I am not the bicentennial thing that he's talking about. I'm just talking about the whole cheesy 70s look with the polyester Sansa belt pants and the no buttons on the jersey, V-neck, as Maz said before, with the two-tone hat and helmet, cheese ball central. I wouldn't bring back any of that stuff.
Oh, they were bad unis, man. They were bad unis. Now, look, the hat to me wasn't the worst part of it. I just think the uniforms are absolutely positively horrendous. But if you're telling me it's an either or, you know, I have to wear one hat all the time, I'm not touching the Red Sox cap. Navy blue, red B, white trim, perfect.
So we have this discussion, like, would you do this, would you do that? I mean, for a night, you do anything. Like, that's not really what we're talking about, Mass. You know,
not anything.
Well, I know what you're saying, but it's different than saying, well, you have a throwback night. So, you know, for a throwback night, you wear those old 70s uniforms and make fun of them. Like, fine, that's not what we're talking about. Would you make them a permanent part of the uniform, in the permanent rotation of the uniform? And hell no, if I'm the Red Sox and I have that classic jersey. If I'm the classic jersey team, which means the Red Sox and the Celtics and the Bruins for that matter, I'm not doing anything. I'm not dinking around with anything. Brian and Brockton on the Patriots quarterback discussion we had. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, hey, guys. Back to Brady. So I think the biggest ability of Brady's that we're going to miss is his pocket awareness. He was never that guy to take a third and long sack to lose a Super Bowl like Matt Ryan. He was never that guy to, you know, flee the pocket when it was unnecessary. You know, he always stayed in the pocket. And it's the limited film that I've seen on Stidham. I think he's quick to flee the pocket just because he can. I think he's one of those QBs that just has a timer in his head and runs once it goes off. So I was wanting to get you guys' thoughts on that.
Biggest drop in is going to be the decision-making at the position. 100%. I mean, Stidham's arm talent, he's got a good arm. He can make all the throws. I'm not worried about Stidham's arm. But his decision-making, number one on the list. Hoyer, maybe just the opposite. Hoyer doesn't have much of an arm. He's seen it all, but, you know, limited. And so maybe with him, I don't know, maybe that's why they do start with Hoyer anyway. So I think it goes without saying that Brady's decision-making will be the number one thing that they miss.
Yeah, what you hope for is that, you know, that some of that with Stidham comes with reps, that the more reps he gets, the more patience he develops. He doesn't panic as much and isn't apt to just run and bolt out of there. At the same time, you know, the Patriots haven't had a mobile quarterback in a long time. So there are things that Stidham might open up for the offense that haven't been there.
John in New Hampshire. Go, John, on the uniforms.
Hi.
Hi, John. Hey, go, please.
Nice. Chicago Blackhawks is the greatest uniform of all time.
Okay, John, thank you for the call. Another guy, I think, who's working his way through the pandemic, Murray, if you know what I'm saying.
Started with the old 3 o'clock bourbon time. I call those guys about those Blackhawks.
Okay,
uniforms.
So this
I don't mind that.
This has become, you know what, this is going to be my cause going forward. Because one of the questions was, if you could banish one uniform element, one current uniform element, what would it be? And the number one response in the poll on The Athletic was the Celtics Gaelic front alternate jersey, which we all agree blows.
It's awful.
Garbage. If you could banish one uniform element, what would it be? That was number one. That Celtics alternate jersey with the stupid lettering. Number two on the list was the Patriots' new uniforms at 23%. I think the Patriots, I like the Patriots' road uniforms. I've told you this. But as it relates to the Patriots, there's really two things that I've sort of hit on that I think are now going to become causes of mine. And I'll tell you what they are after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.